Now, I wonder if we can tell this morning which of these newspaper headlines are April Fools and which are true stories. Here's the first one. Scotland to switch to driving on the right. Apparently, during the independence referendum, it was claimed that the nationalists said that if they won and there was going to be independence, then they would reverse the English-inspired road sign system and the Scots would drive on the right. April Fool, genuine story or hard to tell? What do we think?
April Fool.
April Fool. Yeah, it was an April Fool. It was in The Guardian 4 years ago during the independence campaign. All right, what about this one then? Universities to offer courses in Harry Potter. April Fool's joke, genuine story or hard to tell? What do we think? Yeah, the consensus seems to be genuine. Yes, indeed, according to the Daily Telegraph, on the 1st of April 2013, Durham University's Education Department is going to offer a module entitled Harry Potter and the Age of Illusion, which includes a section, Welcome to Hogwarts, the Commodification of Education. There you are. What about this one then? The Queen drills for gas in Buckingham Palace Garden. April Fool's joke, genuine story or hard to tell?
April Fool's.
Well, actually, they reckon it's kind of true. Last year, The Sun revealed that the Queen is backing plans to dig up significant parts of the palace's gardens in order to try and find some resources that will reduce utility bills. There you are. I think the pictures are fake, but... Chickens at Suffolk Farm have laid square eggs. April Fool's joke, genuine story or hard to tell? Yeah, April Fool. The Daily Express and ITV both claimed that chickens at a farm in Suffolk laid square eggs, but they didn't really. Pineapples turned into trainers. What about that idea then? Anybody think that's an April Fool or a genuine story or hard to tell? What do we think? Hard to tell, yeah. Well, actually, apparently it's true. Waste pineapple fibres are being turned into trainers, handbags and jackets. According to magazine Wired, the textile Pinatex is being used as an alternative to leather. So there you are. On this day, of course, lots of people like to joke and hoax. And when people fall for the joke, what is it we usually say to them?
April.
April Fool, that's right. But what happens in life is sometimes a surprise. And the unlikely is sometimes true. And when we see the evidence for it, we'll believe it. Well, that Easter Day is on April Fool's Day, All Fool's Day, something is quite appropriate. I don't know whether you heard that early on Sunday, on Easter Sunday last year, ex-England football star and television presenter Gary Lineker sent out a tweet. He said, "Funny how we get brainwashed as children into believing these bonkers religious stories." Well, as you can imagine, there was quite a bit of feedback to that, and people were tweeting other things as well. But he and others seem to think that Easter and its talk of a Messiah king who dies by execution and then who is said to have been raised from the dead is a bonkers, crazy, foolish thing. Well, in that reading that Ben read to us from the first letter to the Corinthians, there's a recognition that actually the message of the death of Jesus will seem to many people to be bonkers or daft. We read that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You see, the death of one who claimed to be the Son of God seems ridiculous. It seems foolish. But, says the apostle, in fact, the message of the cross is the power of God to rescue and to forgive and to restore. He says later that Christ died for sins and Jesus died, as John the Baptist predicted, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, Jesus died on the cross in order to bring people like you and me, who are far from God because we've turned away from him, back to him again. His death seemed like a defeat, but in fact, as he shouted out on the cross, it is finished, completed. It's done. Jesus' death was a success. You see, what God has done in Jesus goes beyond the merely conventional, for sure. Jesus' death on the cross might not appear to people to be something that is anything other than foolish. It seems very, very unimpressive. But it is nonetheless God's way of being both just in that he deals with wrongdoing and punishes it, but also he can be loving at the same time, welcoming those who before had turned from him. So it might seem foolish that the Son of Man, the Son of God, dies, but actually it is amazing. It might seem foolish, but it turns upside down human beings in our pride and proves that God is truly wise. As the reading said at the end there, the foolishness of God through the cross of Jesus is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So the cross of Jesus then is certainly no April Fool. It makes possible a wonderful reality. But what about the claims that Jesus, the Son of God, was raised from the dead? There's the empty tomb that first Easter morning. Well, Alicia and Rebecca and Skye read to us from John chapter 20. On the first Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from Jesus' tomb. It would have looked something a bit like that. She ran and she told some of the other friends of Jesus, including Peter and John, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him. Now, when Luke is telling the account in his gospel, he says that Mary and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women who were with them, told these things to the apostles, but their words seemed to them an idle tale. It seemed nonsense. It seemed foolish. And they did not believe. Now, let's be honest. Dead people don't rise. We know that, some of us very painfully. But the claim that Jesus had come back from the dead must have seemed then like the most ridiculous April Fool stunt ever. But the truth is, there was considerable evidence that Jesus had come through death and was now alive. Now, some years ago, Sheena and I visited a church whose minister had been an atheist before he became a minister, and he used to be a legal journalist for an internationally known newspaper. And I came across a short video clip of him this week, and I thought I'd share it with us.
And when I was an atheist and legal editor of the Chicago Tribune, I would have smirked at the fact that Easter this year falls on April Fool's Day. Because back then, I thought that anyone would have to be a fool to think that Jesus literally rose from the dead. One day, my wife gave me the news that she'd become a Christian. And so I decided to take my journalism training and legal training and debunk the resurrection of Jesus. So I spent 2 years of my life analyzing the historical data. And what I found really shocked me. I recounted in my book, The Case for Miracles. First of all, I found that there's no dispute among scholars that Jesus was dead after being crucified. The famous atheist New Testament scholar Gerd Ludemann says it's historically indisputable that he was dead. The Journal of the American Medical Association says that based on the historical and medical evidence, that Jesus was clearly dead even before the wound to his side was inflicted. Second, we have early reports of the resurrection of Jesus. Reports that come so quickly, you can't just write them off as being a legend. In fact, we have one report of the resurrection, including named eyewitnesses, that has been dated back by scholars to within months of the death of Jesus. Friends, that is historical gold. Third, we have the empty tomb, and I found that even the opponents of Jesus implicitly conceded that the tomb of Jesus was empty. And then fourth, we have 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus. Friends, that is an avalanche of historical data. And then we have seven ancient sources inside and mostly outside the New Testament that confirm that the disciples lived lives of deprivation and suffering as a result of their proclamation that Jesus had risen. Why were they willing to do that? Because they heard a rumor that he'd risen? No, because they were there. They touched him. They ate with him. They talked with him. They knew the truth. And knowing the truth, they were willing to proclaim it, even despite the suffering they endured. Friends, I spent 2 years investigating this evidence. And it came down to one day when I reviewed it all and I thought, you know what? Based on the historical data, my verdict is that Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, he backed up that claim by returning from the dead. And that's the moment that I decided to confess my sin, to turn from that, to receive this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus purchased for me on the cross. And at that moment, I became a child of God. Some people have a rush of emotion at that moment. I didn't. You know what I had? I had the rush of reason. Because the resurrection of Jesus is not some April Fool's Day joke. It is a historical reality based not on mythology or make-believe or wishful thinking, but a solid foundation of historical truth. And when I was in...
Well, Lee Strobel there talks about the fact that those eyewitnesses saw that the tomb was empty. And it's interesting that in John's Gospel, as we read about it, that's what those early Christians found. And the grave clothes were arranged in such a way that it suggested that the body had not been unwrapped, but had sort of passed through the grave cloths. The linen grave cloth lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, was not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Now, John, we're told, as a result, he was so overwhelmed by what he saw that he believed. Now, of course, no one has ever been able to produce the body or the bones of Jesus since. They and countless others have found no other credible explanation than that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And what's more, Jesus was seen alive. After what we read in John, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene and then to his fearful friends in that upper room in Jerusalem and then to Thomas, who'd missed out before. And Jesus even shared with some of them a beach barbecue. Now, after what we read in 1 Corinthians, the apostle tells us that 500 people saw Jesus together on one occasion. Now, that is not the stuff of hallucinations. Jesus was alive, and it was a complete surprise. No one was expecting it at all. Dead people stay dead. But this once dead person was now alive, and it completely changed their lives. And millions since. You see, that Jesus was alive after having been crucified is God's message to the world that the cross is not an April Fool stunt, but rather it is his plan to forgive, to rescue, and to restore. That Jesus was alive after having been crucified shows us that he has defeated death and has himself been through it, come through the other side, and can bring others with him. As Jesus famously said a few chapters before in chapter 11 of John, I am the resurrection and I am the life. The one who believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And that Jesus was alive after having been crucified is God's evidence that there will be eternal life for all who believe in him, and that that will result one day in a transformed new world where evil and suffering and death will be removed. Because Jesus is alive, that newness, though yet to be fulfilled, has begun. Well, Easter Day may be the 1st of April this year, but what happened to Jesus that first Easter was no April Fool's joke, for sure. You remember Gary Lineker's tweet last Easter Sunday? Funny how we get brainwashed as children into believing these bonkers religious stories. Well, he actually added a few more words on his tweet after that. He said, might be true though, I suppose. Well, indeed, Jesus' death might seem foolish. Jesus' resurrection might seem unlikely. But sometimes what happens in life is a surprise. And the unlikely might well be true sometimes. Well, Easter reminds us that Jesus' crucifixion is God's power to save the undeserving. Jesus' resurrection, rooted in history, is God's proof that his love is available, that death can be beaten, and that a new world is coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the great truth that Christ died for our sins and that he rose again from the dead. We thank you that he is indeed risen. And we pray that you would work this great truth in us. Father, you know our hearts. You know those of us who struggle to believe, those of us who do believe but want to be more faithful. Heavenly Father, work in us all, wherever we're at, that we might see more of Jesus and his significance. And we ask for his sake. Amen.